Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through their industry insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Quentin West, short-term dental professional, real estate investor, and business coach. And to be much more clear, he's an Airbnb millionaire and president of the Cozy Cosmo LLC. Because you talk money, so a lot of people will understand that, and everybody wants to make money. Welcome to the show, Quentin.
Thank you so much, AJ. I appreciate the introduction.
Thank you. Thank you. And as you are an Airbnb millionaire, that will perhaps get people will immediately understand it, because millionaire is something, you know, a lot of people want to. It talks about money. This is a business and money show, and you are the man who has a lot of money, who makes a lot of money. Even your passive income is $100,000 per month. And who doesn't want to be in a position like that? But first, to understand for the general viewers, general audience, Quentin, is what is Airbnb arbitrage that you do so well and earn a lot of money?
Yeah, absolutely. So with Airbnb arbitrage, instead of buying a property, we're renting a long-term rental from a typical landlord, renting it long-term, and then we're subleasing that property with the landlord's permission on sites like Airbnb and VRBO.
Right, right. And how do you do that? Is it possible for anybody to do it? Is it possible to do anywhere else in the world? Is it possible to do now after COVID, or is the COVID is still on, but almost we can consider, so we don't know where we stand on that, but can we do now? How does one go about it?
Yeah, you absolutely can do it. You could do this model anywhere where Airbnb is allowed and they allow subleasing. So there's some markets that have regulations that go against it, but I found in the majority of states in the United States, and as well as other parts of the world, there's ways around it and ways that you can operate as a short-term rental and use the arbitrage method. Right now we're operating primarily in North Carolina, but we have had units in Arizona, and we do have units in Dallas, Texas as well. So it's been an extremely lucrative concept for us, and we've been able to teach a lot of people on the same concept and how to replicate the results that we've seen in their life.
Right, right. You were a college dropout, and then you are into this life. Now, yeah. Obviously, I don't say, or neither you will say, that drop out of college, but how has been this journey? You know, it sounds very easy, or, you know, very simple when somebody says, okay, this is where I am. This is what I have achieved. So when you look back, things sound easy or look easy, but it's not like that. Because when you are a college dropout, you have so many things in your mind. Your future is still yet to happen. The good future or the bad future. How did it start for you? Why did you drop out of the college and then got into a business like this? Which again, a lot of people are not certain about, because Airbnb, a lot of people somewhere, well, they don't know whether what the future about of this sort of an industry will be going forward. So in that backdrop, but you started obviously when the industry was doing great. How did it happen? Why did you choose Airbnb or maybe VRBO? And how did it happen? How did you lead to this position of success?
Yeah, definitely. So I started an Airbnb actually out of necessity. And like you said, I dropped out of college and then I began working construction. And soon I figured out I didn't want to work construction either. And my end goal was always to be a real estate investor. So I thought the best way to do that was to become a full-time real estate agent. So I ended up buying a house right before I quit my construction job, because I had some work history that I could get a loan on. And ended up buying that first property and actually couldn't make the payments on my mortgage. So that was a reason why I ended up moving back in with my parents. I turned that property into an Airbnb, and then I saw that it was profiting $1,000 to $1,500 a month, every single month. And at the time I was only making, you know, $1,000 a week from my construction job, and then moving into a full-time real estate agent, I was making nothing in the beginning because they don't hand you clients to sell houses for. So I had to, of course, go out and find all my own business. And looking back at this one property that was making me all this money, I was just thinking in the back of my mind, I need to figure out a way to do this on a bigger scale. So, you know, at the time, I couldn't afford to go out and put 20% down on other houses. So I had to get creative. So one thing that really slingshotted me forward was taking out a home equity line of credit on that first house. So since I bought it as a foreclosure and I put a little bit of work into it myself, I made about $33,000 in equity on that first home. And I took out that line of credit so that I could start more properties. I ended up using creative financing to buy the second and the third home. The second one was a owner financed property where I only put $10,000 down. And the third one was a pre-foreclosure that I bought from a guy that was about to lose his home. So I got a great deal. But you absolutely don't need that much money to start. I just didn't know that early on till I figured out how to do arbitrage.
Okay. Now, in the U.S., is it the same for all states or is it different? And if a person, suppose I am in India, a person in India wants to do it, maybe some laws are different, maybe about the subleasing or sub renting or whatever we can call it, might be a bit different. But if somebody can do it, is it who should get into it and who should not? Is there a thing? Because it needs a lot of understanding. It needs a lot of time. Where does this arbitrage work? Even right now, you have now moved into commercial application of this whole model, and you are doing it for a warehouse, you know, and earning quite a good amount of money on that. So it works because you know about it. You were also in the construction bus business earlier to that. Who can do it? Who it is not for?
Yeah, so I really think this business is something for anybody to start. So you actually can get started with zero money, zero credit, and that's by using the co-hosting model. So you can find another owner that already owns a property, and you can present to them an opportunity for you to manage the property as an Airbnb. So especially, you know, landlords that have rented long-term rentals for 10, 15, 20 years that don't want to start a new model for themselves, they can hand the property over to somebody like me or a newer investor in Airbnb. They can manage the property for them for 15 to 25% of gross revenue and as a management fee. And now, you know, we've been able to make up to $2,000 a month as a management fee on a property that we put $0 into. And I didn't use any credit or credit check or anything like that to start up. Everything was on the owner, not us.
Okay. If it is so easy to do, then who are your competitors? Then every second person should be in the Airbnb arbitrage or VRBO or Homeway or whatever. Are there? There might be several of other of these sort of things in the market.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with people is they overcomplicate it, and most of them think it's a scam. So, you know, we run a lot of ads now to try to get people in our coaching program and help others do the same thing. And the biggest comment that we get on our ads is that it's a scam or this doesn't work or what kind of landlord would allow somebody to sublease their house on Airbnb. And the truth is it happens every day. You know, like I tell my students, I hired a virtual assistant based in the Philippines and I just handed her my copy and paste script. She just sent out cold messaging to properties on Zillow, and she closed 9 properties her first month. So if somebody that has that language barrier and has no experience, she didn't have any prior experience with cold calling, no cold DMing, nothing like that. I just handed her the copy and paste script that I hand out to all of my students, and she was able to close 9 properties. So if somebody like that can do it, then anybody can do this. especially the low barrier to entry by not needing money and not needing any kind of credit.
Right. Now, why would a landlord give his property to somebody who is going to sublet it or subrent it? Why is it so? Can't he? Because if he knows that this guy is going to get that big margin in between, then why would he not be tempted to do it himself or, you know, get somebody else on his payroll and keep all the money for himself? Why? What is the benefit that he gets? What is the benefit that you get? How do you decide on the margins? Is there a position where you can make a loss in this?
Yeah, you can definitely make a loss if you don't run your numbers correctly. And even if you do run your numbers correctly, sometimes just the way that you manage a property can make a huge difference. But the reason why most landlords don't do this themselves is, one, they don't want the extra headache or trouble because it is more work than a long-term rental. You're having to turn over the property, you know, 5 to 8 times per month for new guests. And if you don't have those systems or that knowledge in place already, then that right there is a huge barrier to entry, especially for somebody that already has a large portfolio and they have enough money to keep them comfortable. But somebody like me or someone else that is starting from, you know, very little or nothing, you know, when I started, I was very hungry to start, and I was looking for any and every opportunity. So this stood out to me. And the reason why landlords are choosing to rent to people like us is because not only does it make their investment more passive and less headache for them, but they're also more profitable. So one thing that we tell all of our landlords when we first start out is we're coming in with plans for a long-term relationship. We're not planning for it to be a one-year lease. So a long-term landlord's biggest expense is turnover. That's when they have one tenant move out and another tenant move in. During that time period, they're going to have to paint, they're going to have to replace carpet, they're going to have to do repairs. So if we rent the property from them for 3 to 5 years, we're saving them thousands, potentially tens of thousands of dollars by them not having to do that turnover and find a new tenant each time. And not only the expense that it causes, but also the money that they lose where they're not able to rent the property for that 2-week to 30 day period.
Okay. Now let's look at it from a customer point of view. If it is a simple person and you rent that particular place for whatever period, then you give out a certain amount of money. In this sort of a property, the landlord already has the money from you. You got to make a certain amount of money out of it. Yeah. Does this sort of an arbitrage push up the prices or the cost of, you know, renting such places for a general customer? And even if it does, what is the value addition that one gets in lieu of that extra cost?
Yeah, so I definitely would say as more Airbnb operators come in with this model, it could only increase the price. With more demand, the price is going to increase, you know, economics 101. But I think the value that the landlord gets by renting to someone like us is just having, you know, one, a more stable tenant base. You know, we're not going to not be able to pay rent based on a flat tire or a death in the family or, you know, all these factors that affect our daily life as people. We're a larger corporation that has, you know, tens of properties, and we're able to make the rent every single month on time or early. And then during our tenancy, we're also going to make repairs, professionally clean, and keep the property in show ready condition year round, because our success relies on that.
Right. Quentin, one thing that I wanted to understand is, like, for you, as I said earlier on, it gives you a good amount of passive income. You have other things that you do. Yep. Does this arbitrage stuff contain enough say, promise that one can get full time into it and just do that thing. Because your millionaire word, Airbnb millionaire word, may tempt a lot of people to get into a business. Is it a good idea to get full time in it? And if it is, then how does somebody create, de-risk themselves with a thing like COVID that can happen anytime?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that I always advise people on Airbnb is, yes, you can live off of it full time, but I see Airbnb as more of a stepping stone to something bigger. So especially somebody that wants to become a full-time real estate investor, they can use something like Airbnb arbitrage to help them quit their job so that they can focus more on other opportunities instead of the 9-to-5 rat race that people are caught up into. And now they're focused on, you know, opportunities and making more money instead of appeasing a boss in a workplace. And then they can take the cash flow that they receive from their Airbnb business and put that into something more long-term, like, you know, long-term rentals, multifamily investing, commercial properties. And that's what we're doing with our cash flow. Because at the end of the day, you know, Airbnb may not be around forever. It's an incredible opportunity right now, but I want to look towards something that has decades and decades of history of creating long-term wealth. And that is buying properties and holding them long-term. It's consistent income. You can rely on that it will be there. With arbitrage, you know, you are kind of at the bottom of the totem pole, because before you, there's the owner. If they decide they don't want to rent to you anymore, or they want to do it themselves, now you're out of property. So if you have a property where you're making, I mean, some of my mentors are making $5,000 a month on one property. So if you have that and you use that property to replace your income and it's all of a sudden taken away, that can be a gut check really quickly. That's why I always say, you know, the income you make in arbitrage, leverage that for other assets that create income for you.
Okay. Now, let me ask you something more basic. How, and that is where your expertise will help. As somebody who's starting on this, how do you choose a property? Is it a place where there is a lot of footfall in a city, or just around the city, or somewhere in a forest? How do you choose that? And for a new person, they don't even know what to talk, how to talk. Because the landlord may also either be very experienced, or may he also may be inexperienced. How does it work? So two things here. First is that, how do you choose a property? Because you have a great deal of limitation. You can just start somewhere which is very good for you. How does it work?
Yeah, so we're always looking at traveling trends. So we're looking for a location kind of like Gatlinburg, Tennessee, that has decades of experience with a high volume of travelers. Hundreds of thousands of people come there every single year. So anywhere around that location, or in between other sites that travelers can stop at to look at, you're going to get travelers. And I like to look at what's called the Golden Triangle. That's what Airbnb investors call it. Essentially, it's a location in between three spots that bring travelers each and every year. That way, not only are you taking advantage of the travelers from one location, but you're taking advantage of traveling in between those locations and the other two as well. So if you can find a spot, even if it's not directly like in a downtown spot or on top of a mountain or at the beach, if you can find somewhere in between that also takes advantage of other locations that are significant as well, then you'll always have a customer base. There's always somebody that will be traveling in and around that area. And then going back to what you were talking about for somebody new starting out and speaking to landlords. So we have a copy and paste script that has helped build our company. There's no other way to describe it. It's we've worked out all the kinks. We've kind of touched on all the points that landlords come back at us on. And I think the biggest thing with landlords is just showing the value. If you can show that you don't want to sell them on a new business model, but you want to show them you're providing what they already have, but in a better way, and it's going to be more profitable for them. That's when it opens their eyes. They don't want to be sold on anything. They just want something better than what they have. So the way that we're doing that is providing maintenance. We're doing repairs under $200, anything under 200 bucks, we fix ourselves. We're doing paint touch up throughout the year. We're putting HVAC systems on a service schedule so that we're replacing filters routinely. All these things add value to the landlords and helps you get over any sticking points that you're having with a property owner.
Right, right. You see, whatever you speak on the show, however much you explain it, but there is nothing like directly learning from you. So people who want to learn from you, who are already into this business, people who want to get into this business, and since this is a global world, they can do it remotely. What's the best way to get in touch with you, to also perhaps get that script, if it is possible? How do they do that? What is the best way?
Yeah, so they can get in touch with me directly. My Instagram is right here, Q Deals Homes on Instagram. And then I have a private Facebook group called One More Door, Serious Tips for Real Estate Investors. They can get in touch with me on either one of those areas. I'll be happy to give them my script totally for free. Anybody that jumps on your podcast and listens to this episode. So reach out to me and I'll share that with you. And if you want to dive deeper into jumping over some of the beginner mistakes that I made, then I've got some coaching programs I'll be happy to walk you through and help you get to the next level.
Right, right. I'll also put the some information also about all this onto the YouTube description so that they can reach to you much more quicker. And also, obviously, I'll be putting it out on Instagram. How does the business look like now? COVID, no COVID, mid-COVID, whatever situation we are in across the globe, how does this look like? Does it look better? There's this word coming on about revenge traveling or something like that, that a lot of people are now, suddenly they want to go out of their houses, to go out to different places. So is there a good scope for this? How do you look into the future that something like COVID is not out there at any corner that we may just find after investing our money into this?
Yeah, so our hot seasons are the warm months, of course. Everybody wants to travel during the warm months. We have a few longer-term travelers in December, early January, early February, like we're in now. This has always been the slow season for us, though, and it's performed well the same this year as it has the past 2 years. So we're not worried about that at all. We're thinking everything's going to pick back up just like it does every single year. But we've actually seen an increase in traveling in our hot seasons during and after COVID. Because during COVID, we had families that were they had sick family members inside their home. So they were going to other properties like ours so they could stay away from, you know, their parents or kids or whoever was sick in their home while they got better. So they used our properties as to take all their healthy family members to and wait out the sickness until they could come back home and get together as a family again. So we actually didn't see any slowdown in traveling. And even after COVID, we did see a lot of the revenge traveling where people were tired of being kept up in their house and they wanted to go see their family. We actually are not in a vacation spot. We more market to corporate travelers, traveling nurses, insurance, housing, stuff like that. But we actually had a ton of family members that traveled to our area to see their family because they were locked up for so long and couldn't see them. So we did see a lot of that revenge traveling.
Right, right. You help a lot of people in their traveling, in their dream destinations travel. What about your travel? Do you travel or you just keep on helping people all the time?
Yeah, we travel a lot. We've been to Italy. We've been to Bora Bora. We probably went to the beach for 6 weeks this past year. So we do travel a lot. And the great thing about this business is you can travel and still make a paycheck. You don't have to wait for your paid time off from your 9-to-5 job. Every week can be paid time off if you'd like, because you can work totally remotely. So with our 37 properties that we have personally and 5 more that we manage for other people, I only work about an hour a day. So if I don't want to pick up my phone, if I just want to run on the beach with my kids, then I'm able to do that. And that's why it's become, you know, so enjoyable for me to teach other people, because I see the impact that it's made in their life and the way that they're able to take this concept that I learned and build the life that they've always dreamed of.
Right, right. One thing I wanted to understand is, how does a normal traveler evaluate a Airbnb property? What is the best way to look whether this property is like, because pictures, all pictures look very good, but yeah, how do I know whether it is actually what it is there on the pictures?
Yeah, I mean, the best way is just to look at the reviews and also make sure they're a co-host. If you want the best properties, the co-hosts, they're the owners that are keeping everything, you know, as perfect as possible. In this business, everything, something's always going to happen, and you're going to have, you know, bugs in one property that you couldn't keep out. Somebody's going to complain about it. You just can't help it. It's the nature of the business. Unfortunately, unlike hotels, our mistakes are blasted all over Airbnb. But if you look at the reviews and look at them objectively, see them for what they are, then you'll have no problem picking out a good property, especially one that has experience. If you look at the owner's profile and they have multiple listings, chances are they're an experienced host, and you're going to get a great experience by going and staying in that property.
Right, right, Quentin. My last question to you, Quentin, is that from being a college dropout to a very successful person now, I don't think you need to worry about money with so much of, as you said, it can still give you returns even when you are traveling, not working in that sense. Your money is working for you. Your efforts are getting you the results. Now, you are helping others as a business coach, as a life coach. You are still young.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go from here? You know, because you are very young. You are, well, you can say financially independent. You are financially free. Where do you want to go from here? What is it that you seek now?
Yeah, so I definitely want to continue to scale the coaching. It's something I really enjoy. So if I can take that to a larger stage, literally by jumping on stages and speaking to hundreds of people, that's something I would really enjoy. And then also just continuing to build my real estate portfolio. You know, even though we're successful in our business and we're doing well, there's still higher levels to reach. And I just enjoy the pursuit of the deal. You know, that's something I've always enjoyed from a kid, just figuring out how to do something that nobody else can do. How can I take this property and create a cash flowing asset, or turn, you know, a pile of trash into a trunk of gold, for lack of a better word. But that's something I've always been passionate about. And, you know, I think it started from one of my first businesses was flipping items on eBay. You know, I took, you know, sometimes coffee mugs that I found at Goodwill, paid $1 for them, and I sold them for $50 on eBay, collector's mugs and things like that. So now I'm able to do that at a larger scale. And I think that it will continue to work out that way. I'll just find bigger pieces that I can work on. So large apartment complexes. We have a goal of buying 50 units of multifamily this year, and then also continuing to grow our Airbnb portfolio and coach as many people as we possibly can.
Wonderful, wonderful. With this, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, Vijay.